Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. On the very day of my broadcast last week, July 4th, while you might have been listening to my words decrying the lack of freedom and self-determination under which we suffer in this land of the sheep and home of the wimps, while most Americans were celebrating an independence that doesn't exist, a great lesson was being taught to Americans on a subway car in Northeast Washington, D.C. The teacher was an 18-year-old, 5'4", 125-pound Negro carrying a folding knife. His name was Jasper Spires. On that car with the other passengers also sat a fair-skinned young man, 24-year-old Kevin Sutherland, smiling and self-satisfied and surrounded by the racial diversity he espoused and loved, on his way to some 4th of July festivities with friends. Kevin was a liberal activist. He worked for a Jewish-run Democrat campaign strategy firm called New Blue Interactive. Like many multiracialists, Kevin had grown up in a virtually all-white area, 94% white Trumbull, Connecticut. Though he himself was racially mixed, his mother looks mestizo, he could pass for white to most eyes. He was delighted, he said, to be living in diverse, largely black, and heavily third world Washington. He was a former intern at the office of Connecticut Representative Jim Himes, where he pushed for disarming Americans and for more and more non-white immigration, among other equally disgusting things. Just a few days ago, Kevin Sutherland was posting to his Facebook account, denouncing the Confederate flag as a symbol of racism and hate, and blaming that flag and Southern pride for the actions of Charleston church shooter Dylan Roof. He said in clumsy prose, quote, "In my opinion, there are few things that are more offensive to the victims of this crime than refusing to address the racism, much of which is institutionalized, glorified, and celebrated in the South, including with the help of symbols like the Confederate flag that cultivated this incident. There is no question this was a racially motivated hate crime. Furthermore, the emerging profile of the shooter that terrorized the church is one that describes his frequent racist comments, embrace of Southern pride, and display of racist symbols, including the Confederate flag and apartheid-era insignias from South Africa." Close quote. On his own website, Sutherland was in full liberal delusional song, posting predictable millennial tripe such as this, quote, "Since I am in politics, there is one phrase coined by our founding fathers that really strikes me. When they founded this nation, they set out to create a more perfect union. The important distinction in this phrase is that our union is not perfect. More than 225 years later, despite so much change, this is still true. It is likely that we will never achieve absolute perfection. But I believe that the heart of American exceptionalism is that we never stop trying. If history is any guide, the forces for progress always succeed eventually, no matter how formidable their opposition is. Our fight is not merely for new gun control measures or even new mental health programs. It is for the creation of an even more perfect union. That is why I am a liberal." Close quote. Just a few minutes after Kevin Sutherland boarded that metro train with the other 4th of July travelers, a black male named Jasper Spires got aboard too. He was about to teach Sutherland and anyone else with eyes to see and ears to hear a profound lesson. The small, lightweight Spires carried with him a small folding knife with a plastic handle. It was a few minutes before 1 p.m, full daylight, and on a part of the Washington rail system that is above ground. Metro cars, I've ridden on them myself many times, have many large windows, and what happened next was clearly visible to all concerned. There were about 10 or 12 other passengers in the compartment, and many more dozens in adjacent cars. As the car sped along in its short 3-minute ride to the next stop, Jasper Spires noticed Kevin Sutherland's cell phone and wanted it. He reached to grab the phone, and Sutherland tried to stop him. According to witnesses' accounts in the Washington Post, quote, "The two struggled," police said, "and the terror began. Police and a witness interviewed said passengers trapped in the moving train huddled at both ends of the car and watched in horror as Spires punched 24-year-old Kevin Joseph Sutherland until he fell to the floor, then stabbed him until he was dead. Court documents say the victim was cut or stabbed 30 or 40 times in the chest, abdomen, back, side, and arms. Police say the assailant then threw the victim's cell phone and returned to stomp on Sutherland's body. "We were in a moving train," said a 52-year-old woman who spoke on the condition that she not be named because she is both a victim and a witness to the crime. "You're not really sure what you need to do. This man is holding a bloody knife. I don't think anyone was going to try and stop him." When the frenzy was over, the woman, who is from Texas and was headed to the concert with her 76-year-old father, said the attacker turned his bloody knife on them. A police report said he told her father, who lives in the district, "Give me what you got," took $60 and threw the man's wallet on the floor. The man's daughter then handed over an additional $160 to keep him from hurting her father, a police report said. The attacker also robbed other passengers, police said. The witnesses' accounts and a police affidavit filed in D.C. Superior Court on Tuesday describe a harrowing incident. "I watched the attacker drop kick him in the head several times, like he wanted to kick his head off," said the woman who was on her way to the concert with her father. "We saw the perpetrator kicking the man. He had him on the ground, punching him, kicking him, and stabbing him." The woman said Sutherland was moaning a lot. "Never in my life have I seen anything like this. I saw the attacker bent over him. I did see the bloody knife in his hand," close quote. A few days before, Jasper Spires had been arrested for a violent assault and robbery, not his first arrest by any means. But in the militarized third world zoo that Washington has become, violent assaults and robberies by blacks are so commonplace that he was released. Just a few minutes before he boarded that metro car, he had casually stopped by the police station to pick up the personal property they'd confiscated when they arrested him previously. How different this 4th of July ride might have been if we lived in a society where we were allowed to be and were armed, as all free men ought to be. How different it might have been if we had followed the advice of Jefferson and Lincoln and had never incorporated blacks into our society. How different it might have been if we still had the racial unity, common values, trust, and honor that inspires and empowers us to act and to do right even in the face of danger. There is a phrase in the Anglican's Book of Common Prayer which runs, "From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead." Quick, in this sense, is in its archaic meaning of living. So the phrase really means that God is going to judge the living and the dead. For all of our differences with the Christians, perhaps we can nevertheless agree that such a judgment is coming. A judgment of nature and nature's real God upon a society that disarms itself. A just judgment upon a society that tolerates and even welcomes primitive, subhuman, misbegotten animals like Jasper Spires into its midst, feeds them, protects them, coddles them, gives them a huge portion of its wealth, and encourages them to multiply and take unto themselves the women of that society. A truly glorious judgment upon a society that demonizes and criminalizes and ruins the lives of the men and women who try to save it from that racial destruction. A right and necessary judgment upon a society so alienated, so atomized, so Judaized, so truly sick that its able-bodied males can only cower in the corner and do nothing. Do nothing, even when they outnumber the attacker by some 5-1, and when probably even one among them outweighed him by 50%. Do nothing while Jasper Spires tries to kick off the head of an unarmed innocent man, then stab him while he lies on the floor, stab him again and again, stab him more than 30 times with his little lesson-teaching plastic-handled folding knife, and then, while he lies near death, return and try to crush his skull with his boots. Such a society is composed not of the quick and the dead, but of the sick and the dead. It's the kind of society that produced the parents of Amy Beale, who forgave the black killers of their white daughter and even embraced them on camera in the name of fighting racism. It's the kind of society that can produce the priest who officiated at the funeral of Jason Beaufort, one of the 5 whites forced to kneel in the Kansas snow a few years ago, while their black killers, who had just raped the women among them, shot them in the backs of their heads. That priest told the victims' families that it would be immoral to seek vengeance, and that the families of the murdered young whites should forgive the black killers. It's a sick and seriously deranged society. It's a society that is not going to last much longer. Its members are not only sick, but for all intents and purposes, they are already dead. Yes, a judgment is coming, but it's not coming from a spirit in the sky. It's coming from the forces of nature, which we in our foolishness and which our enemies with malice aforethought have unleashed. Jasper Spires, ignorant cur that he is, despite his dim consciousness and through his malevolent, vicious, unreasoning violence, is an agent of that judgment. And he's just one drop in the tidal wave of bloody judgment that is about to wash over our nation. Another force of nature is the poisonous meme of equality that has been forcibly implanted in the brains of so many of our people, a meme that renders them helpless in the face of all the Jasper Spires in this world, and helpless in the face even of genocide. A meme which will have to run a horribly bloody course before its carriers are all gone and can infect us no more. But not all the forces of nature that are coming into play are negative forces. There is a small group of men and women who know that the ruling values in this society are the wrong values, who know that we must build a new society, and that to build that new society, we must first build a viable organization and a race-based community that will survive the coming dark years. An organization which will keep alive the values, the history, the culture, and the genes of our people, so that new generations of our kind will still be born 10,000 years from now. That group is known as the National Alliance. And we are a force of nature, too. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com. That's NATALL.com, or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680. USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have. Yeah.